Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Ayin Bet. Today's daf has been dedicated in memory of Moshe ben Miriam, Mr. Mo Hidari. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. Dedicated by his family. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Shaban Tahan Ben Nizha, dedicated by Victor Tahan. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Ayin Aleph Amud Bet on the bottom line. The Gemara begins Amar Ula. Leman de Amar Asham Vadai Lo Baya Yediyah Betehila. According to the opinion that says that the Korban that's called the Korban Asham Vadai does not need knowledge of the sin at the beginning, what does this mean? So there's a very important Rashi. We'll read it together. The bottom Rashi on the daf. Asham vadai lo ba'e yidi'ah. So this is really like an introduction to the sugya. Plukta de Rabbi Tarfon ve Rabbi Akivai bekiritut perek dam shechita. We have a machloket tanaim in masechet kiritut. Rabbi Akiva mechayev al safek mi'ilot asham talui. Rabbi Akiva says that if a person, let's say, committed the sin of Mi'ilah, Mi'ilah is benefiting from something that is Kodesh. However, it wasn't definite Mi'ilah, it was Safek Mi'ilah. How do you have Safek Mi'ilah? As she continues, Upirush. Hayu lefanav shte hatichot. Echad shel Kodesh ve'echad shel Chulin. One was Kodesh, one piece of meat, and the other was regular. Ve'achal achat men, he ate one of them. Ve'enu yodeya ezu achal. He doesn't know which one he ate. If he ate the Kodesh one, it's me'ilah. If he ate the regular one, it's nothing. So it says, mevi asham talui. He brings a korban asham, but it's not a regular korban asham, it's talui. Talui means it's pending. Rabbi Akiva, Mu'modeh Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva agrees, she'enu mevi et me'ilato. Meaning normally the law is that when a person commits mi'ilah, besides the fact that he has to bring a korban asham, he also has to pay what's called keren v'chomesh. He has to pay the principal back plus 20% to the Bet HaMikdash for taking kodesh that doesn't belong to him and benefiting from it. So Rabbi Akiva says, kilomar, enu mishalem keren v'chomesh. At that point when he brings the asham talui, he doesn't bring the keren v'chomesh. Ad she ivadalo viyavi ima asham me'ilot vadai. Until he realizes that he actually did it, only then does he bring another korban that would be called asham vadai. And with the asham vadai, he brings his keren v'chomesh. So again, according to Akiva, he's bringing two korbanot. He's bringing the asham talui. If and when he realizes that he really did eat kodesh, then it's not considered safek anymore. Then it's vadai me'ilah. He brings a second korban. This would be called an asham vadai, definite asham. At that point, he has to pay the keren v'chomesh. Ki echi da asham talui d'shar averot, d'safek karet eno mechaper kapara gemura. Just like he says, for example, if a person committed another sin, misafek, meaning he was in doubt if he did it or not, he would bring an asham talui. And then when he finds out that he actually did it, he has to bring a full-fledged hatat. Ushi vadal od vaday hatat, mevi hatat. And he has to bring a regular hatat. Abze, kishi vadal od yachzir v'yavi asham vaday. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, ma leze mevi shte ashamot. Why should this case have to bring two ashamot? Velo dami l'asham talui desafek hatat. Rabbi Tarfon argues. He said, this guy does not have to bring two korbanot. He says, by a case of another sin, let's say, where a person committed a questionable khatat, There he has to bring two, because the Qurban Hatat is one type of animal, and the Asham Talui is a different type of animal. So therefore, once he realizes he committed whatever sin it is, he has to bring a different animal because it's a different animal. Meaning, the Adam Sefeko Ayil. On every other Hatat, if you do it Misafek, you have to bring an Ayil, a ram, that's a male. Vadai Nekeba. But if you definitely did this sin, you have to bring a female. Hilkach ki mityadale ba'ilatuya nekeba. Which means here by Me'ilah, the Asham Talui is an Ayil, and the Asham Vadai is an Ayil. So therefore, what Rabbi Tarfon says is a big Hiddush. You can bring an Asham Talui conditionally. And what's the condition you make? You say, if I didn't commit this sin, I don't know, if I didn't commit it, let this be the Asham Talui. Let this cover my obligation, misafik. However, if I did commit the sin, let this korban be the asham vadai. Let it atone for me. And he adds the kerem v'chomesh at that point. He pays the Beit HaMikdash back the principal plus 20%. And he says, if I don't owe this money, let it be a donation to the Beit HaMikdash. But if indeed I did do the sin, let this be my kerem v'chomesh. Comes out according to this, we have a great mahloket between the Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbi Tarfon. Whereas the Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to bring two separate korbanot. You can't bring the Asham Talui and at that point start stipulating and say, if I really committed it. No. Once you find out that you committed it and you know that you committed it, then you bring the Asham Vadai. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon's Hiddush is, you can bring the Asham Vadai conditionally even before you know that you actually definitely sinned. Now that would be a principle that's called that a Korban Asham does not need Yidi'ah. Meaning that at the time you bring the Korban, you do not need knowledge that you committed the sin. Because the Beit Tarfon is letting you make a stipulation before you even know if you actually did it. So therefore you do not need a Yidi'ah at the time that you're bringing the Qurban. I'll compare that to a Qurban Khattat, for example. Not an Asham. A guy commits a sin. Bishogeg. Unintentionally, inadvertently. He has to make Qurban Khattat.
Yes.
All agree that when you bring the Qurban Khattat, you have to know exactly what you did. I mean, there's no conditional Qurban Khattat like this case over here. The Hiddush by Qurban Asham, which is also a guilt offering, Rabbi Tarfon allows you to bring it even at the point where you don't know for sure yet that you actually committed the sin. And that's what the Gemara means when it says Asham Vadai Lo Baya Yidi'ah Tehila. That opinion is Rabbi Tarfon, that it's not necessary to have a Yidi'ah. Now, Rashi points out that there are three type of sins where a person would bring a Qurban Asham. Rashi lists them at the bottom. Rashi says, Asham Vadai, we'll read that. Kol Ashamot Kirvim Asham Vadai. Chutz Me Asham Talui Shuba'al Lo Hoda. There are three cases of Asham Vadai. It's Asham Me'ilot, Asham Gezelot, and Asham Shifra Harufa. What are these three? Asham Me'ilot is the case we just said, where a person took something of Kodesh and benefited from it. He has to bring a Korban, Asham. Asham Vadai plus Kerim Vahomish. Asham Gezelot would be a person denied that he owes somebody money and he made a Shivua. And then later he recants and admits that he owes the money. So because the shivua that he made falsely on Gezelah, that's stealing, because he's saying he doesn't owe the money. So when he admits, he has to bring a Korban Asham, Asham Vadai. The last case is Isha Korban Asham of Shifcha Harufa. Shifcha Harufa is a Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, that his master gives him a wife. Halakha says that the master is allowed to give the Eved Ivri even a shifcha, a maid, let's say, that's Kena'anit.
and the deen is that they're quasi-married. What does it mean, quasi-married? It's called harufa. It's not an official kiddushin, and that if somebody, let's say, commits adultery with this lady while she's with this Eved Ivri, it's not official adultery that's punishable by, let's say, strangulation, the regular punishment in the Torah. If one goes or cohabits with a shifcha harufa, the punishment is they have to bring a korban asham. So therefore you see three cases where korban asham. Asham gezelot, asham me'ilot, asham gezelot, and asham shifcha harufa, meaning cohabitating with a shifcha harufa, the ish that's married to a man. It's not considered a full-fledged adulterous situation. So now the Gemara is going to analyze. And we start. Amar ulam. The man de amar asham vadai lo baya yidi'a b'techila. According to the opinion that says when you bring a korban asham vadai, you do not need to have knowledge yet of the sin. Who is that opinion? Rabbi Tarfon. That wadi allowed you to bring a korban asham talui before you knew for certain that you committed this sin. And still at that point you could say, if I definitely committed it, let this be my kapara. So you're bringing it at a time where you did not have a yidi'ah. So what do you see? That yidi'ah by a korban asham, according to the Bittarfon, is not substantial. Which means yidi'ah is not a factor. Now once we prove that yidi'ah is not a factor, that's going to play a role in other halakhot regarding the korban. The Gemara says, that's the case, Baal Chamesh Be'ilot B'Shifcha Harufa Eno Chayav Ela Achat. In a case where a person cohabitated with a Shifcha Harufa five times, with the same Shifcha Harufa, the same maidservant that was designated to a Eved Ivri, another guy went with her five times, he'll only be hayav one korban hatat. One for all five. Now what's exactly the case? Nashi. Ba'al hamisha be'ilot b'shifcha harufa b'shogeg. Right away it's b'shogeg. He didn't know. He didn't know it's asur, or he didn't know that she was a shifcha harufa. V'noda lo bin kol achat v'achat. Here's the chidush. Even though after each time he realized, which means he had a yidi'ah, which is he recognized that this is indeed asur, and then he went back again, and then he had a yidi'ah, and he went back again. This happened five times. So whereas normally we had a concept earlier according to the Rabbi Yohanan, he taught us that what yidi'ah has the ability to split hata'ot, which means in between, and not only Rabbi Yohanan, which means all agree actually, that if a person, let's say, ate chalev, and then had a yidi'ah, and then ate another kezayin of chalev, that the yidi'ah splits up the isurim, it splits up the differences where you'd bring two hata'ot. Says that's only by other types of sins, where yidi'ah is a factor. However, over here, where we see according to the Bittarfon, that yidi'ah doesn't play a role by asham, because you don't even have to have a yidi'ah at the time that you're bringing the korban that you did anything. So therefore, just like you see that yidi'ah is not a substantial factor, so it's also not going to be a substantial factor to split the sins up. And therefore, it's possible, according to the Bittarfon, in the case where the guy was ba'al shifcha harufa five times, and in between each one you had a yidi'ah, it's going to be one. Now let's read that in Nashi. That would be a chidush. Beshogeg, top line. Venodar lo ben kol achat ve'achat eno chayav el achat. Now, Nashi tells us some facts that we have to know. La'achin akat shifcha harufa. The reason why I chose the case of shifcha harufa, mishum de mevi korban achat al averot arbe. See, this is a case, it is an exceptional case, that if a person commits many sins of cohabitating with a shifcha harufa, he'll only bring one korban.
כנתנם בכריתות. חמישה מביאים קורבן אחד על עבירות הרבה. There are five cases, the Gemara says, where a guy can commit many sins but only bring one קורבן. הבא שפחה ביות הרבה. One of them is this case. וכי תנן מניתים דנפטר בקורבן אחד. And when the Mishnah in Kiritut said that a person can cohabitate many times and he'll only be hayav one, which case was it talking about in Masechet Kiritut? Hani miri bimizid. Interesting, which means even if a guy did it bimizid intentionally five times, the Gemara, the Mishnah clearly says there, shehu mina bivi'im ala mizid kishogeg. Normally mizid doesn't bring a korban. But we have special pasukim by Shifcha Harufa. Rashi quotes the pasuk of Vayikra Yutet. It's talking about a guy that intentionally went with the Shifcha Harufa, and the Torah says Bikoret Tehiye. Bikoret Tehiye means the guy will get lashes. Now, if the Torah is telling you he'll get lashes, it must be referring to a mezid, because a shogeg does not get lashes. Umalkut beshogeg leka. Vegabe mezid rabbe kera, and by that pasuk we have an inclusion that comes to teach us the niftar be korban ehad al biot arbe, that not only does he get malkut but he only has to bring one korban for many transgressions. We see the case of Shifcha Harufa is really an exception, where a guy can be a mezid. He committed the sin intentionally five times. The Torah has inclusionary words to teach us. You only bring one. Kedeli fata. Like we learned over there. Now, if you're going to tell me that the mezid, that's the guy who knows what he's doing, he has to bring only one korban, that she says, ve'kol sheken al bi'ot shogeg arbe be'ale mehad. Although also, if the guy was unintentional in one lapse, although Moshe will only bring one korban, which means that's the classical case where you normally bring one korban. A guy that's unintentional, a shogeg, that he did many sins in one lapse, that's always the case where you bring one. So that she's just telling you, if in an intentional, where the guy knows what he's doing, you still only bring one. Although Moshe a shogeg, be'ale mehad, in one lapse, and then you find out after you did all five, that, oh, I did a sin over here. Or the more, so you'll just bring one. Now they discuss our case. But if you're a shogeg and you had a yidiah in between each one, leman debare yidiah b'techila b'Hashem badai. According to the opinion that says you need a yidiah by a korban Hashem, who's that opinion? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said that after you brought your Hashem Talui, and then you found out that you actually ate, let's say, Me'ilah, you were Mu'ayyad, you ate Kodesh, you have to go back and bring another Korban Hashem, because you have to know the sin at the time you're bringing the Korban. So that Jesus, according to the Bi'akiva, Vadai Hashivu Lehalek Le'ashamot Kehava'at Kapara Mithaleket Le'osem Mezid. Which means, V'tzarich Le'avi Al Kolahat Ve'achat Alimad Rabbi Yohanan Damar Le'el, באוכל שני זיתי חלב בעלה מאחד ונודע לו בשתי ידיעות שמביא חטאת על כל אחת ואחת וחשיב עלי חילוק ידיעה כאילו הביא קורבן בין ידיעה לדיעה הכנמי חשיב חילוק ידיעה כאילו הביא קורבן בין ביעה לביעה. According to Rabbi Akiva, where the ידיעה is substantial, how do we know the ידיעה is substantial? Because at the time that he brings the korban, he has to know what he's doing, yes, so that he transgressed. So therefore, for sure, according to Rabbi Akiva, Yidiah will have the ability to separate, to split them. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the case where a guy did five, biot, and there was Yidiah in between each one, he was Bishogeg, and then he had Yidiah, he was Bishogeg again, he had Yidiah, that'll be five Hataot. Just like, according to the opinion we learned earlier, that the Yohanan taught us that Yidiah has the ability to split by the case of, let's say, Halev, so too the case will apply according to the opinion by Shifcha Harufa or by Hashem that says you need a Yidiah, that Yidiah will be substantial to split. What's Ula's Hiddush? Deleman delo ba'i Yidiah ba'Hashem techila ena chashuva lehalek bintayim. But according to the Bitarfon, that does not say that Yidiah is substantial in the case of Hashem. So therefore, these Yidiot do not have the ability to split. Ve'eno chayav ela achat.
Why? Dekevan delo chashiva liyidiyah. Since Rabbi Tarfon holds that yidiyah is not substantial, lo mehaleket. It does not have the ability to split. So that's basically Olas Kedush, that the Bitarfon will say that if a guy was with a Shifcha, Harufa, five times, Beshogeg, with Yidiyah in between each one, it's still one. All agree if he was Bebezid, if he did it intentionally five times, obviously he has, it's more than a Yidiyah, I mean, he's doing it intentionally, that clearly we have the Torah telling us you only Hayav one. Certainly all agree if a guy did all five Beshogeg in one Harlem, all agree you bring one. The mahlok that you're going to have between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon is if you did five, and in between each one you had a yidiyah. If you hold that you need a yidiyah at the time that you're bringing the Qurban, meaning the Rabbi Akiva, that says yidiyah is necessary, you have to know when you're bringing the Asham that you committed the sin, so therefore the yidiyah is substantial as the ability to split between the Hata'ot, and therefore you're going to be Hayah five times. Whereas the Bitarfon that says you don't need a yidiyah at the time that you're bringing the Qurban, Hara'ayah, when you brought the Qurban, Asham told you, you had no idea that you committed the sin yet, and still he says it can count as the Kapara. So therefore he'll say what? He'll say that if you did five times, and in between each time Yadiyah means nothing. It's not important by the case of Hashem, and therefore you'll only bring one. That's Ula's Hiddush. So comes the...
The Torah is telling you Mezid is five times, one time. How could Yadiyah make any difference? Bottom line...
Because I'll explain it to you. When a person commits a sin, Bishogeg, and he has a Yadiyah, what does Yadiyah mean? He recognizes that he did a sin, and therefore now he wants to repent. That's the yidiyah does. He's a shogeg, the guy was unintentional. And therefore the yidiyah, as she tells us, is considered, that's just a technicality, that the guy went into five lapses. That's just a theoretical case. That you can't ask, how does the case happen? We're giving a theoretical case, how the guy had amnesia five times. That I'm not concerned about. What I'm concerned about is that when a guy has a yidiyah, and which means he's contrite at that point over there, which means he realized what he did, he realized he did a sin, so therefore it's as if he brought a korban. That opinion that says yidiyah, what's the logic that it's mehalek? It's as if now he brought the korban. So certainly if it's as if like he brought a korban, it's going to separate between the differences, which is all would agree. If let's say you committed the bi'ah, and you actually brought a korban for it, and then you committed it again, all will agree that that splits it up. Because bottom line, you finished with it, you atoned for it. The hadush of here is that when a guy has a yidiyah in between, according to the opinion that says yidiyah by Korban Hashem is not substantial, that yidiyah is not going to split up the korbanot, but according to the sins, but according to the Rabbi Akiva, that says yidiyah is substantial, this yidiyah is considered, and once you know him, it's as if you brought a kapara already. It's different than the Mezid guy. The Mezid guy is intentional. His yidiyah is not causing him to be contrite, to feel bad. On the contrary, he's Mezid. He knows he's going to do it again. So that guy, to clear the Torah, is only being one. But maybe in a case where the guy committed it and then brought a korban, or had a yidiyah which is considered like he brought a korban, then you could argue and say, Yahayav. Five. I have different times. But that's all that's going to do. So comes the Gemara and says,
the Mezid guy, you're forcing him to bring a korban, actually, because the Malkut is a
fourth
thing.
Correct, correct, correct. Correct, the Torah tells you he has to bring one.
The Mezid guy gets two.
Matkif la Rav Menuna. Rav Menuna asked the question. Ela me'ata. According to this. Now we're going to read the text of the Bach. Ba'al v'hifrish. Take out those words, v'chazar u'ba'al. Let's say a guy committed the bi'ah, v'hifrish korban, and he designated the korban, v'amar, and then he says in the Beit HaMikdash, as he's ready to bring the korban, hamtinu li ad she'ba'ol, wait until I do it again. Ha'achiname de'enu hayav el ahat. Are you telling me he's only hayav one, which is ula? He's asking it rhetorically. He's asking, if you're telling me that yidiyah is not a factor, so then yidiyah should never be a factor.
And therefore the guy brings the korban, he has it ready to go on the mizbeach, he tells the kohen, wait, I'm going to do it again. Well, you're telling me that yidi'ah doesn't mean anything, so therefore he should be able to go do it, not be able, if he does go do it again, that one korban should cover. Are you going that far? So he says, Amar leh. He says, what are you talking about? Ma'aseh de la'achar afrashaka amart. You're talking about if he did an action after designation? I wasn't talking about that case. I was talking about yidi'ah. Of course, if a person designates, that's already, that's a significant action. That's more than just a yidi'ah. That's already, he's designated the korban already. That finished. Whatever he did before, this is already like on the road to kapara. Whatever he does after, that's considered a new action. Of course I wasn't talking about that. I was discussing the guy committed the act, and then added yidi'ah after. I'm telling you that according to the Beit Tarfon that says, yidi'ah is not an item by Hashem. Hara'ayah, you don't need to know that you even did it when you bring the Hashem. So yidi'ah doesn't have the ability to separate. But just because I said yidi'ah doesn't have the ability to separate, does that mean hafrashah doesn't separate? You're talking about two different things. So certainly when the guy comes to the Beit HaMikdash with the Qurban and says, you know, wait here, I want to go do it again, of course he's going to have to bring a second one for that situation. So that was the Hiddush of Ula. Comes the Gemara and says, Ki ata Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar, he also discussed this case. He just discussed it on the reverse side. Whereas Ula discussed this law of the case of the Shifcha Harufa in respect to Rabbi Tarfon, Ravdimi is going to discuss it in respect to Rabbi Akiba. Right? Ula looked at it according to the opinion that talks about Leman Delo Ba'ei Yidi'ah. Ravdimi is going to look at it according to the opinion that needs Yidi'ah, which means Rabbi Akiva. That she clearly tells us what Ravdimi is going to say and what Ula said. They're not arguing with each other. They're just each one looking at it from the different side. It says Leman De Amar Hashem Badai Ba'ei Yidi'ah B'Tchilah. According to the opinion that says that Hashem Badai needs a Yidi'ah B'Tchilah, meaning Rabbi Akiva. How do we know that? Because Rabbi Akiva said, you brought the Hashem Talui for questionably eating Kodesh. And then you found out that you actually indeed ate Kodesh. He says, you have to bring another Hashem. That shows you what? That at the time that you bring the Korban Hashem, you have to know that you committed the sin, which means according to Rabbi Akiva, Yidi'ah is substantial. So he says, Ba'al Chamesh Be'ilot B'Shifcha Harufa. Chayav al kol achat ve'achat. So he's going to tell you that since yidi'ah is substantial, if you had five times with the shifcha harufa, and in between each time you had a yidi'ah, which you were shogeg, you had a yidi'ah, you did it again, you had another yidi'ah. Since yidi'ah is substantial, yidi'ah is going to have the ability to split it. Meaning, yidi'ah has a din as if you brought the korban, so to speak, according to this opinion, and therefore it splits it, because yidi'ah means something. So comes Gemara and says, now, I should point out that at this point, when he's saying that you're going to be Hayav 5, it's according to everybody. Who's everybody? If you remember yesterday, we learned on the daf, Mahloket the Yohanan and the Shlakish, where a person, let's say, ate two kezayit of chalef, and then after he had a yidi'ah, so the yidi'ah for the first kezayit and yidi'ah for the second one, so the Rabbi Yohanan said yahayav 2, whereas the Shlakish said yahayav 1, which means the Shlakish held that really yidi'ah is not enough. Here, Rav Dimi is coming along to say, by the case of the Shifcha Harufa, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, yidi'ah is an issue by Korban Hashem, everybody's going to hold that what? The yidi'ah splits. Rabbi Yohanan certainly, and even Mishtakish. So comes the Gemara, I will see that inside Nashi. Look at the second wide line in Nashi. Hayav kol achat v'achat. At this point we're thinking that Rav Dimi had the Tanabal Shifcha Biotarbe Enu Chayav Ela Achat.
Now, how does Rav Dimi learn the Mishnah over there in Kiditut that says if you do it five times, only hayav one? He'll have to explain that case is a mezid. Which by mezid, we know that you hayav one. Hani mili mezid, that's one way you can learn that Mishnah. Inameh shogeg be'ale mehat. Or it's as she was shogeg on all of them in one lapse. Aval shogeg v'nodalo b'ntayim. But if you were shogeg, and in between each one, you had a knowledge, according to the opinion that Yediyah is substantial by Hashem, meaning Rabbi Akiva, mehaleket v'afilu l'rishtakish. Even according to the Rishtakish. Which means again, we cannot deny there's a Mishnah in Masechet Kiditut that clearly says, if you do it five times, you only hayav one. So how could not Rav Dimi come along and say, you hayav five times? So he's going to have to say, obviously there's different scenarios here. If you do it five times, b'mezid, then already we have a Torah pasuk that tells you, Hadush only hayav one. Or if you did it five times in one lapse, if you did it all five, then you realize what you did. That's one lapse, also hayav one. Ah, but if you did it, you're telling me hayav five. Yeah. I'm telling you, according to Rabbi Akiva, where you has an issue by Korban Hashem, if you did it five times, and in between each time, you had a yidiyah, and we're going to say that what? Yidiyah is able to split them and you're going to be hayav five times, even according to Rish Lakish, that in the previous daf didn't give too much credence to yidiyah. So Abaye comes along and says, right, Abaye is going to ask the question now. Amar Abaye, Amar Abaye, Hare hatat tiba'inan yidiyah betekhila. Let's discuss a different type of korban. Korban hatat. For example, for a guy that eats chilev. Everybody agrees, there's no mahloket, when you bring a korban hatat, you have to know the sin that you're bringing the korban hatat for conclusively at the time you bring the sin. Which means, whereas we have a mahloket by Hashem, there is no mahloket by korban hatat. You need a yidiyah. You can't bring a stipulative korban hatat. If I did it, if I didn't know. You got to know what you're doing. So everybody holds by korban hatat. You need a yidiyah. It's a big difference.
No, but they're different korban.
Yes, it's different korban. But the point is, it's a different logic as well, which is everybody holds by korban hatat. At the time of the bringing it, you have to know the sin you did. And still what? Upaligi Rabbi Yohanan v'Rabbi Shimon ben Nakish. And still, we have a ma'alok in the Rabbi Yohanan and Rish Lakish, meaning, even in that case, Rish Lakish says, where yidi'ah is substantial, still yidi'ah does not split the hata'ot. So you're going to tell me over here, where it's a ma'alok, and if you need yidi'ah, that Rish Lakish is going to say it splits it? Which is even a case where hata'ot vada'ah you need yidi'ah. And still he holds that the yidiyah does not separate. So why shouldn't he say the same thing over here? According to the opinion that says you need yidiyah, Rish Lakish will stick to his guns. That yidiyah is not substantial to split. Which means, you're going according to the opinion, Rav Dimi. According to the opinion that says yidiyah is substantial, by Korban Hashem, in Rabbi Akiva, everybody says the yidiyah splits. Why? Why should Rabbi Shimon ben Akish be any different, like his opinion by Korban Hatat, where a guy ate halev? And he had yidiyot. You told me the yidiyot don't split, so therefore the yidiyot should not split. Why are you telling me it's across the board? Let's read Rashi. Look at the Rashi Dibura Matkhil, Rabbi Yohanan v'Rish Lakish. You see Dibura Matkhil, Rabbi Yohanan v'Rish Lakish? It's the first word on the line. Rabbi Yohanan v'Rish Lakish, the Kama Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said above, the end yidiyot, mechalkot t'chayem b'shtayim, al shnei zeteh alav, chalev, be'alem echad. Right, which is that he ate in one lapse. And then he found out that Rishaki said the yidiyah does not split. Alma lo hashiva lechiluk yidiyah kechiluk kapara. Obviously he must hold that just knowing the fact that you did it is not as if you brought a korban or involved yourself in the atonement process. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the gaveshif ha'arufa therefore the same thing by the Shafa'a Rufa, they had a knowledge in between each one. It should not have the ability to split them. Just like the Mezid, he only brings one. Let him bring one for all of them. Now she just points out the Shakish does agree in a case of chalev, for example, where let's say you ate chalev, then you had a yidiyah, and then you ate chaylev again, and then you had full shi'ur, and you had a yidiyah, then you had chaylev again, then you had a yidiyah. Everybody agrees that that splits. Why? Because we know that chaylev, achilat chaylev, is a case where the Torah talks about it's subject to the laws of shogeg. If a guy does it, let's say bimizid, does not bring a korban by that case. If a guy does it bishogeg, what does shogeg mean? He didn't know he was doing it at the time, and then he finds out that he's doing it. So of course, everybody will agree if the yidiyah came in between the eatings of chaylev, even ishtakish will agree that you're going to be
separate.
In this case over here, by Shifa Arufa, we see that already even Yahayab on the mezid over here, something to do with mezid and shogeg. Yahayab even in the mezid to bring a korban, which means if a guy did it five times in a row, you bring one. And therefore he's going to tell you, just like if you did it five times in a row, bimezid Yahayab one, yidiyah in between is not going to mean anything, because why? Yidiyah, according to the Shlakish, does not have the ability to split. So therefore, just like he held by korban hatat, that the yidiyah does not split, so too he is. I mean, why are you saying according to everybody it splits? Actually, his answer was, Avdimi's answer was, ishtik. He kept quiet. He didn't have an answer. Amar le, so Abaye helps Avdimi. He says like this, V'dilma b'ma'aseh d'lachad afrashah ka'amart uchturav ha-menuna. Maybe what you meant to say is, in a case where if he committed the sin, that they did the Shifcha Harufa, and then he designated a korban, which means he made a hafrasha, in that case, you meant to say that everybody will agree that that has the ability to split. Amalein, he said, yeah. He says, right, which means, in the Yidiyah level, it'll be a mahloket between Nabi Yohanan and Shnakish. You're right. I was discussing a case where the guy separated the korban, and after he separated the korban, he did it again. There, even the shtakish, as we learned earlier, according to one opinion at least, according to one opinion, the shtakish will say that hafrasha is considered already enough to split. So therefore, Abaye originally made a statement that, I mean, Avdimi originally made a statement that everybody agrees at the yidiyah level. So why could that be? It should be the same machlok. No. You meant to mean at the hafrasha level. Oh, you're right. At the hafrasha level, everybody agrees. Comes the Gemara and says, again, it's the lashon of the Gemara, just to get to the lashon of the Gemara, when the Gemara says that Abaye told him, Amar le dilma b'maaseh de la'ar hafrasha kama uchte rava menuna, like rava menuna, which means earlier Rav Menuna, in the first statement, according to Ula, he threw that in. Ma'aseh le'achar aflashah. That was Rav Menuna's statement on the second line. Matkif la'ar Rav Menuna ila me'ata. Then he came along and said, Amalin ma'aseh le'achar aflashah. He was the one who introduced this concept of the Yidin ma'aseh after aflashah. So therefore Abaye came along and said, maybe you meant like what Rav Menuna said. The case is still about ma'aseh le'aflashah. Ma'aseh he said, yeah. Now, ki'ata ravin. Last story regarding this. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he made three statements. His first statement was like this, Hakol modim b'shifcha harufa. Everybody agrees when it comes to shifcha harufa. And then he made a second statement, V'akol modim b'shifcha harufa. Everybody agrees when it comes to shifcha harufa. Then he made a third statement, U'machloket b'shifcha harufa. And it's machloket b'shifcha harufa. So the Gemara wants to understand what are these three statements. Hakol modim b'shifcha harufa. Everybody agrees to Ula's statement. Ula said, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that Yidiyah is not substantial by Qurban Hashem, so Yidiyah is not going to split, which means if the guy does it five times with a Yidiyah in between, everybody agrees according to Rabbi Tarfon, one. V'akol modim mitzvah harufa, dechayav al kol achat v'achat, k'rav menuna. And all will agree as well, to Rav Menuna's din, that said what? That if you separated the Qurban and then committed, then all agree that that's considered Ma'asef Rasha. Everybody agrees that separates the, which means whether it's the Shtakish or whether it's Rabbi Yohanan, anybody over here, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, all will agree once you make a Haf Rasha, that's greater than a Yidiyah. All will agree to that as well.
ומחלוקת בשפחה חרופה, אז איזה מחלוקת? למען באמר השם ועדי בעי ידיעה בתחילה, according to רבי עקיבא, that says that Hashem ודאי needs ידיעה, מחלוקת רבי יוחנן ורבי שמעון בן לקיש. That will be the מחלוקת that we had earlier. רבי יוחנן ושתקיש does ידיעה מחלק, which is just like my קורבן חטאת, where we all agree you need a ידיעה. And still the שתקיש said, if you ate two כזייר of חלב in one ענם, and then you found out about it, subsequently A and B, you only chayav one, which is the ידיעות over there, do not split it up. So to over here, the Shekish will say that the idiot, even the in between, do not have the ability to split them up. Whereas the Yohanan will say no. Yohanan will say, by the way, the idiot are like you brought the Qurban. That's the Yohanan Shita. It's like you brought the Qurban, and therefore it has the ability to split. So let's just review. Bottom line, you had a statement of Ula, which was looking at the Shifcha Harufa case from the eyes of Rabbi Tarfon. You had a case of Ravdimi that looked at the Shifa Harufa case from the eyes of Rabbi Akiva, and then you had like a summary basically of Ravin that came along and said, you know, Rabbi Akiva's, Rabbi Tarfon's side, Rabbi Akiva's side, and then on the side where they are arguing. Let's review that outside. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you don't need a Yidi'ah by Korban Hashem. How does that manifest? You can bring an Hashem Talui and exactly make it a condition at the time. If I committed the sin, this is it. This counts as my Hashem Vadai, and you throw the Keren V'Chomesh in at the beginning and finish. Even though at the time you had no Yidi'ah, you didn't even know if you committed the sin. So Allah said, oh, according to that, we see that Yidi'ah is not a necessary factor by Qurban Hashem. Therefore, in a case where a guy committed five times Shifcha Harufa, going with the Shifcha Harufa, and there was a Yidi'ah in between, well, the Yidi'ah is not substantial, it will not split it, you only Hayav one. And in the Mizid, of course, the Torah clearly says one. And in Shogeg, where let's say he did it five times, then found out about all of them, one. Came Ravdimi and said, Ravdimi came, I'm going to give you his statement. He said, according to Rabbi Akiva, where you see Yidi'ah is substantial, in Ravdimi's final version, it's a machloket, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yohanan. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yohanan, that says Yidi'ot are considered as if you brought a Qurban, so Yidi'ot in between Shifcha Harufa, where according to Rabbi Akiva, the Yidi'ot are substantial, it'll separate. Whereas according to the Shlakish, just like Yidi'ot don't separate by Qurban Chatat, where you need a Yidi'ah when you're bringing it, so too it'll not separate by Qurban Hashem, you'll bring one. But Ravdimi agrees, if you made a Hafrasha, meaning you separated the Qurban, and then already you went and did it again, everybody agrees that that has the ability to separate. Comes the Gemara and continues, Itmar. We have an Amorite statement, new point, Nitkaven lehagbiya et atalush. Let's say a person had Kavanah on Shabbat to lift something that was detached from the ground. It's permissible to do that. Rashi gives an example. Kegon denafal sakin ba'arugata yarak. Let's say a knife fell. He was holding a scissors or a knife in his vegetable patch, and it fell. Then it's kaben nagbiyo. His intention was, he wants to pick up the knife. You're allowed to pick up a knife on Shabbat. But what happened? Vehatach et hamechubar. That by mistake, instead of picking up the knife, you ended up plucking something that was attached. So the Gemara says, patur. You're exempt. You don't have to be a korban chatat. Why, Rashi? וחתך את המחובר פטור דכתיב אשר חטא בא. When it talks about the קורבן חטאת, it says the words that you sinned בא, ודרשינם בקריטות פרט למתעסק בדבר אחר ועשה דבר זה, which means the only time you could involve in the קורבן חטאת when you involved in doing something, let's say, that possibly could be אסור. Here, what was you involved in? You're involved in picking up a knife. There's nothing wrong with picking up a knife. Which means, a classical case of shogeg would be, the guy is either knowing he's plucking vegetables, he just doesn't know it's Shabbat, but while he's plucking vegetables. Or the guy, he knows it's Shabbat, but he doesn't know that plucking vegetables is Asur. But he's doing something, he's plucking vegetables. That's a shogeg. Here, the guy is picking up a knife. The guy's involved in Hagbahat Sakin. What ended up happening? He was preoccupied with that, and he got involved in the... he pulled out a vegetable. That, the Gemara is going to call Mita'asik. That's a case where he's preoccupied. He's going to be patur.
Something that's okay.
Correct. Comes the Gemara and says, Lahtoch et talush. Actually, in that case, everybody says patur. Now, Lahtoch et talush. But let's say the person over here, his intention was to pull something that he thought was already detached. He saw, let's say, a vegetable on the ground. He thought it was detached, and his intention was to pull the detached. There was indeed something detached. So his intention was to pull the detached item. Ve'hatach et ha-mehubar. But instead, he pulled the one that was attached. We have a machloket. Rava amar patur, Abaye amar hayav. Machloket, Rava and Abaye. Rava amar patur, what's Rava's logic? Te'alun et kaven hatichad isura. Bottom line, this guy's intent here was not to cut something that's isur. It's not like the classical case of shogeg. The classical case of shogeg, the guy's intention is he's cutting something. He just doesn't know it's Shabbat. And then you have a Qurban. Here, ask the guy, what's your intent? My intention is to pull something, or to cut something, but it's attached. It's not attached. It's there. So his shita is, when you're preoccupied with doing something that's mutar, and then it comes out, isur, you're patur from the Qurban. Abaye amar, hayav. Why? Because bottom line, you had intention to cut something here. You had intention, meaning, which means you had intention over here to cut something. No, which means this guy over here, you're right. His intention was to pull something that was detached. However, his intention was to pull something. And therefore, bottom line, it worked out. We ended up pulling the one that was attached. Since your kavana was for haticha, that's going to be asur. Which is, when will Abaye say it's okay? In the first case. In the first case where the guy's intention was lagbiya. His intention, all it was to just pick up the knife. There's no isur bichlal. And it came out, he ended up pulling something out of the ground, then already he'll say patur. But here, when you mitkaven fahaticha, it's just that you're mitkaven fahatichat heter, and you end up doing hatichat isur, Abaye is going to tell you hayav. Let's read Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Rashi. Deha. Look at Rashi. Deha lo echaven ahaticha de isura. Now, according to this opinion, which is Rava's opinion, he says the guy wasn't mitkaven tahaticha de isura bishkagat Shabbat or bishkagat melachot, ela mitasik b'haticha teter shiyodeya shu Shabbat. The guy knew it was Shabbat. V'yodeya shahatichat mehubar asur. He also knows that haticha is asur, but he's pulling something. What is he pulling? His intention was to pull something that was just lying on the ground, but instead, what he did, he did the same action. But he ended up pulling something that was attached. Rava says, bottom line, since his kavana was hatichat heter, pulling something that was mutat, that's called in halakha mita'asik, preoccupied with heter, and isur came. Abaye argues. Abaye says, no. Bottom line, he was preoccupied with what? With hatichat, pulling something. Bottom line, pulling can be isur if it's attached. That's not considered mitasik. The item that's considered mitasik is when you're involved in doing something that is totally mutav, like picking up a knife that's never attached. That's hagbaha. There, and Kevin, I was to pick up a knife, and you ended up pulling out something from the ground. There, Abaye will tell you, that's considered a legal preoccupation, legal mitasik. But if you're involved in pulling a vegetable,
Your kavanah was to pull a vegetable. It's just that you made a mistake, you pulled an isur. That's already considered mitasek with something that's isur. And therefore he'll say, hayav. Amar Rava. Rava says, mina amina. Where do I know my deen from? Says the Tanya, because we have a braita. Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot. Shabbat, in some senses, is more stringent than other mitzvot. Vechomer Shar Mitzvot Mishabbat. And other mitzvot, in some senses, are more stringent than Shabbat. The Gemara says, Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot. The stringency of Shabbat over other mitzvot is what? Shabbat Asa Shtayim Be'aneh Mechad Hayab Al Kol Achat Ve'achat. If you did two melachot in one lapse, so you're going to be hayav for each melacha. For example, you did choresh and zoraya in one lapse, you have to bring how many hataot? Two hataot. Masheen kem b'shar mitzvot. But this does not apply to other mitzvot. We'll see. V'chomer shar mitzvot m'shabbat. And where's the stringency of other mitzvot over Shabbat? Shebishar mitzvot, because when it comes to other mitzvot, shagag belo mitkaven hayav. If let's say you made an unintentional sin without kavanah, by other mitzvot you're going to be hayav. Masheen kem b'shabbat. Not so by Shabbat. Now the Gemara is going to explain all the cases. That's just a statement. Now we're going to explain. That's a braita. Amar Mor. We had a statement. Chomer Shabbat mishar mitzvot. Shabbat is more stringent than other mitzvot. Shabbat asa shtayim bi'alem echad hayav al kol achat ve'achat. Masheen kem mishar mitzvot. That's a direct quote from the braita. Hechidame. What's the case? If let's say we give a case one Shabbat, you did two melachot, you did kotzer, you reaped, and you did tochen, and you grinded, and you're going to tell me in that case you're going to hayav two dekivate, and similarly gabesh shar mitzvot. What would be the case? Achal chelev vedam, where a guy, let's say, did two distinct sins. He ate, let's say, a kazayir of chelev and a kazayir of dam. Acha tarte mechayev, ve'acha tarte mechayev. You're going to be hayav too as well. So why is Shabbat more stringent than Shar Mitzvot? Would you give me a similar scenario by Shar Mitzvot? Well, Shar Mitzvot would be other mitzvot that are not Shabbat. You ate chelev and dam. That would be like on Shabbat you did kitsira and tehina. Well, just like on Shabbat you hayav too, you're going to be hayav too by Shar Mitzvot. So Shabbat is not more stringent. In that case, Ela Shar Mitzvot lo mechayev ela chada hechidame. Give me a case by Shar Mitzvot where a guy can commit two, and it'll only be hayav one. De'achal chelev v'chelev. Well, let's say he ate two kizayit of chelev in one lapse. So the Gemara says, "Dekevate gabes Shabbat." Wait. Similarly, that case by Shabbat would be da'avat kitzira v'kitzira. Well, let's say he did kitzira in one lap. Hacha hada mechayev, hacha hada mechayev. In both cases, you're only going to be hayav one. So we're really stuck. Give me a case where Shabbat you'll be hayav two, and on Shabbat mitzvot you hayav one. Ve'olam da'avat kitzira v'tichina. Go back to our original premise. You did kitzira and tichina on Shabbat in one lapse, where you're going to be hayav two. Umay mashe'en kem b'shar mitzvot. And what did the Braita mean when it said, which is unlike by other mitzvot? It didn't mean by all other mitzvot. Avodah zarah. It specifically was referring to one law of idolatry. What's that law? Ukhdrabi ami. Following Rabbi Ami's opinion. Damar av ameh zibayah. A guy, let's say, sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah. V'kiter, and he brought an incense to the Avodah Zarah. V'nisech, and then he poured wine libel to the Avodah Zarah. Ba'alama achat, in one lapse, which means either he didn't know that Avodah Zarah soon, or he didn't know that this was Avodah Zarah. Eno chayav ela achat. He's only chayav one, which means we don't get him for zibeyach, for kiter, for nisuk, whereas Shabbat, we get the guy for each melacha, and avodah zarah specifically, you don't get charged the chatat for each item. It's considered one alama. So therefore, the braita that said that Shabbat is more stringent than shar mitzvot meant that Shabbat, where a person transgresses two melachot, he's hayav two hataot, masheenkin b'shar mitzvot of avodah zarah, that in avodah zarah, if you did many different practices in one halim, you're not hayav for each practice like you would be on Shabbat. You're only chayav once. So we got the stringency of Shabbat over Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, wait, now you committed us that Sh'ar Mitzvot means Avodah Zarah. So now you're going to have to be consistent in the Braita. So it says, Bemay Ukimta. How did you establish this Braita? When it says the word Sh'ar Mitzvot, Avodah Zarah. Well, Emasefa. Now you're going to have to explain the second statement in the same vein. Chomer Bish'ar Mitzvot. Now, we said that other mitzvot, now according to this opinion, we have to say, Avodah Zarah has a stringency over Shabbat. And what is that? Shebishar mitzvot, kubahadah mitzvot, shagag belo mitkaven. If a guy was inadvertently did the sin without kavanah, it's two things. It's inadvertent without intent. We'll see what that means. Hayav, which is by Avodah Zarah, it's going to be a hayav. Masheen kem b'shabbat. As opposed to Shabbat, Hai shagag belo mitkaven da avodah zarah hechidame. Give me a case where a guy worshipped Avodah Zarah inadvertently without intent. What's the case? So the Gemara says, Ilema, maybe you'll tell me, Kasabur beta kenesetu. He thought, let's say, he was walking into a synagogue, Vishtahavala, and he bowed either to it, meaning some say that the actual this church itself was an Avodah Zarah, or you went in and bowed down to the Avodah Zarah. And that's a case where you want to say it's unintentional, means he didn't realize it. And in that case, you want to tell me that what? That he's considered Hayav by Sha'ar Mitzvah, because Sha'ar Mitzvah is stringent. Why would you be Hayav in that case? Hare li bola shamayim. This guy, bottom line, he thinks it's a Bet Knesset. He thinks it's a sanctuary. And when he's bowing to God. Halakha says that if a guy's bowing in his kavanah is to God, that's not Avodah Zarah. And therefore, why would, you're not going to be a Korban Chatat in that case. So that can't be the case. You can't give me a case of unintentional inadvertency in that case. Because that case, you're not going to be Hayav. It's the boys of Shamayim. Ve'ela, you know what the case must be? Ve'hazi Andarta. He saw an Andarta. What's that? As she says, Surat HaMelech. That's the picture of the king, like a statue of a king. They do it out of respect to the king. They make, let's say, a figurine or a picture. And he bows to it. But his kavanah is really not for, you know, to accept it as a deity. He's more doing it out of kavod. So vizchidle, and he bowed to it. So Gemara says, what's the case? If he bowed down to the picture of the king, accepting him as a deity, mezid haba, then he's mezid. Then he doesn't bring a korban. Then he has to, we give him a sekira. And if he's just bowing down to it, and he didn't accept it as a god, lav klumu, that's nothing. So again, we're searching. Give me a case where a guy could be a shogeg belo mitkaven by avodah zarah, where you can say he's hayav chatat. So the Gemara says, "Ela me'ahaba u'mi'ira," out of love, out of fear, meaning Rashi, "Me'ahaba u'mi'ira," me'ahavat Adam u'mi'irat Adam, either because he loved somebody or he feared somebody, hishtachave la'avodah zarah. So he bowed down to the avodah zarah, which means a certain friend of his. He had a lot of love for him. And his friend told him, you know, please bow down to the Avodah Zarah. He says, out of my love for you, I'm going to bow down. Out of the fear for you, I'm going to bow down to the Avodah Zarah. Now, v'kari le'shogeg belo mitkaven. That guy is called a shogeg. Inadvertent, without kavanah, meaning. Kilomar shagag be'achi, de'sabur kevan de'em mitkaven le'bo le'elahut mutar. Which means, the guy thought that since he's not mitkaven for Avodah Zarah is permissible, but bottom line, in this case over here, he knows it's an avodah, it's a person. He's bowing down to an idolatry. He's bowing down to an actual figure over here. Now, even though the guy's not doing it for Elahud, but this is an actual person itself, and he knows it's a person, and therefore the guy made a shigaga. His kavanah is not for Avodah Zarah. That's lomit kavin, but it's a shogeg, meaning he thinks that this is okay. When he thinks he's involved in doing something mutar, he figured for Ahavat Adam, I can go now bow down to this Avodah Zarah, but not for the sake of Avodah Zarah. But really, he can't do that. Why can't you do it? Because bottom line, you're all bowing down to an Abu Dhabi. It's like the other case where, let's say, he thought it was a synagogue. There, at least he thought it was a Bet Knesset. Here, he knows it's an idol. Here, it's mamash in Abu Dhabi. So the Hiddush is that when you do it Mehava or Mi'ir'ah, that's a case where on Abu Dhabi you're going to be a Hayab Hatat. So the Gemara says, hold it, that's not so simple. That's not widely accepted. Hani Hala Abaye, Daman Hayav. Yeah, that works with Abaye's opinion in Masechet Sanhedrin that says this case would be Hayav Hatat. Ela L'Rava Da'amar Patur. But Rava in Masechet Sanhedrin says that even in that case, bottom line, the guy didn't have Kavanah for Avodah Zarah, even in that case it's going to be Patur. Mai Ika Lememar. Give me a case of Shar Mitzvot. So the Gemara says, Ela Be'omer Mutar. New case. The guy thought Avodah Zarah is permissible. How could a guy think Avodah Zarah is permissible? Well, as she says, Kegon Ger Shinit Gayer Ben Anukhrin. You have a convert that converted amongst the Goyim. If you remember, we learned a case earlier where the conversion people that converted this guy didn't tell him about Shabbat. In this case, we're learning a case where the guy converted and they never told him that you can't worship Avodah Zarah. So this guy is called Omer Mutar. So what's the Gemara saying? Sha'ar Mitzvot, meaning Avodah Zarah, where the guy thinks it's okay, he has to bring a Korban. Mashe'inkim b'Shabbat. Now we know that that's not so. Gemara says, Mashe'inkim b'Shabbat te'patu legamre? What are you going to tell me? Not so by Shabbat, you're going to tell me that's the stringency, that by Avodah Zarah you bring a Korban for that. I mean, once he finds out, I'll bring one Korban. What, on Shabbat you won't bring a Korban in that case? Which means if a guy didn't know Shabbat,
we learned it.
And then he found out. Ad kan lo ba mine rabam rav Nachman ela ile hayuve hada ile hayuve tarte. Ava miftere le gam ela. We had a question yesterday in the sugya with Rav Nachman, or 2 days ago with Rav Nachman and Rava. The case was shagag bezu, where the guy didn't know anything. He didn't know Shabbat, he didn't know melachot. So the question was, do you consider him, how many korbanot does he have to bring? Does he have to bring for the shagagat Shabbat, or does he bring for the shagagat melachot? But all agree that he has to bring something. Well, the guy didn't, he had no knowledge of anything. So the question is, how do you judge it? Do you go after the shagagat Shabbat? Do you go after the shagagat melachot? But you go after something. Everybody agrees, when the guy finally finds out that there's a Shabbat in the world, he's got to bring one. So that can't be, because we're giving a bright that's saying, other mitzvot are more stringent than Shabbat. In this case, they're exactly equal. Which means, in the case of Omer Mutar by Avodah Zarah, you'll be Hayav one. In the case of Omer Mutar by Shabbat, you'll also be Hayav at least one. So the Gemara concludes as, El alav resha be'akum v'sefa b'shar mitzvot. Okay. We're forced to say we can't learn the Braita in the both cases talking about Avodah Zarah. True, we said the first case of the Braita was talking about Avodah Zarah, meaning that if you commit two sins on Shabbat, meaning two melachot, you'll be hayav two. Mashe'enkim b'shar mitzvot of Avodah Zarah, that if you commit two processes in Avodah Zarah, you only hayav one. That we have to say is Avodah Zarah. But in the second part of the Braita, where we gave a stringency over shar mitzvot to Shabbat, that's not talking about Avodah Zarah. That's talking about shar mitzvot, other mitzvot. Kegon what? So the Gemara says, V'shagag belo mitkaven b'shar mitzvot hechidame. What's the case where you have a shogeg without intention? The sabur de shomen hu. Guy thought that he's eating shomen. Shomen is kosher fat. Ve'achalo, and he ate it. Now the guy thought he was involved in heter. The guy thought he was doing something mutar. But bottom line, it came out it was Heled. So even though the guy was mitasek bedavar heter, in his mind he was preoccupied thinking he's doing something mutar, still the chidush is that by the case of Heled, since bottom line, like Rashid tells, he enjoyed, bottom line, you had benefit, you're going to be hayav. Mashe'enken b'shabbat de patur. Which means, Mashe'enkin, but take a similar case like that in Shabbat, you'll be patur. How? Let's say your kavanah was to pull something that was already cut. Already cut. Which is you were preoccupied with doing something mutar, and you ended up doing something asur, patur. Very good, right? There's no anahadah, therefore you'd be patur, which means we found a case of stringency over Sha'ar Mitzvot, over Shabbat, the case of mitasek. Yeah, no, that's not the scissors case. That's the case of you commanded to pull the vegetable. But you thought, okay, but I was going to ask according to Abba in a second. But Rava was saying, where do I know my rule that mitasek b'Shabbat is patur? So he brought you this whole long bright and this whole discussion for this line over here. This line teaches us that what? That yes, by Sha'ar Mitzvah, for example, by Chalev, even though you were preoccupied with eating, let's say, Shomeh, which is Mutar technically, but while you ended up eating Chalev, bottom line, you're going to be Asur in that case, because Mitasek by Chalev is Hayav, but Mitasek by Shabbat is Patur, meaning you were Mitasek, you were preoccupied with pulling something that was Nahtach, that was cut already. But what happened? You ended up pulling something that was attached. Patu, that's the stringency of Sha'ar Mitzvot of Chalev to Shabbat. Oh, the Abaye. But according to Abaye, that says Shabbat is equal in that case. Right? Abaye holds that even in that case, Shechayav. But he only said the case of what? When you're doing something that is totally, for example, lifting up the scissors. Then already lifting up the scissors, then you came along and pulled out something. Then it was totally a ten. But here you have coming up, pull something. Pulling is, bottom line, still connected to the Isur. So he says, so he gives the case like this. Tesavur roku ubal'o. He thought, he didn't think that this was shomen. He didn't think that this was fat. We're giving the fat case first. He thought that what?
Saliva.
That this was saliva. He thought it was a piece of saliva. Ubal'o. And he swallowed it. And what would have ended up happening? It was chilev. Masha'enkin b'Shabbat de'patur. Similarly, a case on Shabbat will be patur. Did it kaven lehagbiya etatalush? Which means, here we had no intention lahtoch at all. Or his intention was to pull something that was already detached, which is lifting it. There was nothing to do with attached. It was not a vegetable. V'hatach et ha-mechubar. And he ended up coming and pulling something that was attached, patur, aval etkaven, lachtok et ha-talush, v'hatach et ha-mechubar, hayav. But if his intention was to pull something that was really detached, and he ended up pulling something that was attached, that they'll say is hayav. So therefore, Abaye is consistent with his opinion. But let's explain it. Let's explain it. Abayel, what's the case of mitasek b'Shabbat that's patur? You have to be doing something that is totally mutar, which can never be part of any sur. For example, lifting. Right? Lifting a knife, your intention was to lift a knife off the ground, and then what happened? You were, as you were preoccupied, and something gets totally there, you ended up pulling something out of the ground. That's mitasek according to Abaye. As opposed to, I don't want to be clear, you patur. As opposed to, let's just take a case, I want to clarify, because I see there was a little point of contention here. You're not allowed to pull something out of the ground on Shabbat, correct? What does it mean, something in the ground? It's rooted, it's attached, it's in the ground. Now you could have something that's in the ground that you pull out, but since it's detached from the roots, it's not considered... That's not considered detaching. So nitkaven lachtoch, your intention was lachtoch, to pull something out of the ground. It's just that you thought what? You're pulling something that's detached. Abaye says the bottom line, your kavanah was to detach. Your kavanah was to pull out, lachtoch, to cut. I don't care if your kavanah was lachtoch heter. Bottom line, haticha, that's not mitasek. Hagbaha, that's mitasek. Now, you have to say, give a similar case whereby other mitzvot, it'll be hayav. Certainly, according to Abaye, in a case where the guy had kavanah to eat shomer, and he ate chalev, by the way, you had kavanah to eat, just like eating chalev is asur, eating shomer, eating is definitely considered hayav. You have to give me a case where you were mitasek beheter, and still by Sha'ar Isurim it is Asur. So that's why he has to come up with the case of the saliva case, which means the guy thought that this was a piece of saliva, which means it's not even Achila. You don't eat saliva, as she says. This is Bilia, which is he didn't even have intention to eat. his intention was totally the bidiat rok, which is totally mutar. And what ended up happening? It ended up happening to be chelev. Oh, chelev is subject to achila. So therefore, in a case of, he wasn't coming out to achila. It was totally mitasek bidiat rok. In that case, inshallah, mitzvot chayav is still chayav. Whereas to Shabbat, you're going to be patur. So basically, we have a mahloket gedola ben Abaye ben Rava, how to understand the concept of mitasek b'Shabbat. Again, mitasek, when you're preoccupied with one thing and you ended up doing isur. How much that preoccupation has to be, to what extent? Rava says, so long as the preoccupation was for heter, which is, you knew it was Shabbat, you knew things are forbidden, you just were involved in doing something mutar. You were lifting up something that you knew that was detached, and end up you pulled the wrong one. That's already considered tasek. Rabbi Yeh says, no, you were intention of pulling something, that's already, you're pulling. Pulling hitir, pulling yisur, you're out. That's hayab. What's the case? Hagbaha. Well, I just wanted to lift a knife up. There could be no isur lifting a knife. And then it came to pulling something that was attached. That's the case of mitasek according to Abaye.